Today we're going to finish up chapter 13 and looking still at Paul and Barnabas' first missionary trip. And we see that they're in Antioch and in Pisidia. So let's pray. Father, help us as we look in your word. Help us to be changed by your word. Father, there are many things from this passage that we can learn today and apply to our lives. And I pray that you would help us to do that. And Father, there's our theme for the year, to be bold witnesses. Help us, Father, to be bold, more bold in our faith. Father, we don't know when you're coming, but obviously, Lord, we're 2,000 years closer to your coming than when your word was completed. So help us to be bold and to be busy and to be sharing the gospel with our community. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, you will remember, we're in the section of Acts chapter 13 where we saw the first recorded sermon of the Apostle Paul. I'm sure it's not the first sermon he preached, but it's the first one that's recorded for us. And it was at the synagogue in Antioch, Pisidia. And we saw how Paul's mission team, his mission strategy, his MO, if you will, when they entered a city, if there was a synagogue there, they always began their ministry in the synagogue amongst the Jewish people. And I think there's three reasons for this. The first was, of course, Paul himself was Jewish, and he was very familiar with their faith and practice. Number two, Jewish people knew the one true God, they knew his word, and they knew about the Messiah. So as we saw, very quickly, he was able to get into preaching about the Messiah. And number three, the gospel was to go to the Jew first. And we know that from Romans 1:16. And in Romans 1:16, we're told that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. To everybody who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So the gospel, within the gospel, there's a resident power. And that word in the Greek for power is the word dunamos. And you've heard this before. It's where we get our word dynamite. Okay? Any of you ever used dynamite? I remember when I was a teenager, I got a Blockbuster. A Blockbuster is supposedly equivalent to a quarter stick of dynamite. And there, it's loud. And that was only a quarter stick. I can't imagine. I would have loved to have gotten hold of a full stick. But anyway. But it's powerful. I mean, we live in an area of the country sometimes. A lot of the roads are built already, but they had to power through and blast through mountains to make roads, right? Sometimes you go by and you see all those drill holes in the side of a mountain where they blew that mountain away. With what? Dynamite. So dynamite's powerful. And this is the same word that is used here for the power in the gospel. The gospel will always have an explosive effect, positively and negatively, okay? Positively, of course, the gospel has the power to save a soul. Negatively, turn to Matthew 10 as a way of introduction. The gospel has positive and negative effects. Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, Jesus says, Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. Okay? He will bring peace, but that's his second coming. So this is in reference to his first coming, the reason he came, to be our Savior. Okay? It says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance. That word variance means to part in two. Okay? So it's like to divide. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. And sometimes the gospel does that. Sometimes in many other cultures, if a certain people practice a certain faith, when their child becomes a believer, some of them have funerals for them. Some of them, they literally try to kill them. If you're a Muslim, you come to faith. Honor killing, they call it. And you know, so Jesus said, you know, I've come to set to bring division. And again, there's a power in the gospel to bring people together. But there's also power in the gospel to bring division. And some of what Pastor Andrew is teaching, of course, the Antichrist. And we're going to see in our message today, we're going to see a positive effect of the gospel and a negative effect. And a positive effect that continued on and a negative effect that continued on. So as Paul and Barnabas continue their ministry in Antioch and Pisidia, and I neglected to mention this last week, I'm sorry, but it's very important for this week's message. This is in the area of the world called Galatia. Okay? Now, just put in the back of your mind, because we're going to deal with it in a moment, think of the problem that we're going to see today, and think of the reason why Paul had to write the book of Galatians. Okay, this problem did not go away. And this problem came simply because the gospel message was brought to the area of Galatia. So we'll see positive and negative results. So if you're following in your outline, the first blank to fill in is the preaching of the word of God, verses 42 to 44, and let's notice the positive responses from the preaching. Look at verse 42. It says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So again, we learned that Paul, remember, they read in the scripture, and the man who was leading the service said, does anybody have a word of exhortation? And Paul stood up and he preached. And he preached about the Messiah. And the Sabbath service, the synagogue service was over, and as they're going out the door, the proselytes that were there, the Gentiles that were there, they wanted to hear more about this. So can I say that a positive response of the gospel is the desiring of the word? Do you, as a believer, do you desire the word of God? Last night, my wife cooked a steak for me. I desire steak. It's nice to have a steak every now and then, you know. It'd be nice to have a steak more than every now and then, but, you know, it's nice to have a steak every now and then. And, you know, we desire certain things. One of the things that a child of God, somebody that has been affected by the gospel, has a desire for the word, to read it, to hear it preached,
to spend time in it. And this is one of the positive effects. They wanted, notice what it says, and when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought, and that word besought there means implored them to preach. It wasn't just, hey, great message, Paul. I'd like to hear some more of that. It was a begging. Please come back. Please come back. Notice verse 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. There was not only that they desired the word, but they were determined to hear the word. They couldn't wait for the next Sabbath. They wanted to hear it before then. You know, we have opportunities here throughout the week between Sundays, to hear the word of God, be it Wednesday, be it Monday, be it Friday. We have other opportunities through the week to come together to hear the word of God. Notice it, when the congregation was broken up, so they're parting. The religious proselytes followed Paul. Hey, tell us some more. There's that hunger. There's that determination to hear the word. This is a positive response from the preaching of the gospel. And notice the third, verse 44. And the next Sabbath day, so a week has passed, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. So can I say that some displayed change because of the word of God? And you say, how can you get that from that text? Who was going around? Why do you think the synagogue was filled the next Sabbath? You think Paul knocked on every door and handed out flyers? Said, oh, by the way, I'm speaking at the synagogue in Antioch. Why don't you come and hear me? Do you think that was the case? No. I think the people said, you got to hear this guy. You got to hear this message. He's telling us Gentiles that we can be saved. So the people got excited. Almost the whole city came to the synagogue. Who spread the word? Was the synagogue this filled each week? I don't think so. Because it mentions that that week, almost everybody came. Now, wouldn't that be great if we got that excited? You won't get that excited about my preaching, but if we got that excited about the word of God, and we just wanted everybody we knew to hear it. So these are the positive changes that come from the preaching of the word of God, from the gospel. Remember, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And this power is resident in the gospel, and it's available to the Jew and to the Gentile. And it makes these changes in our life. Prior to my, I was saved as a 13-year-old. Sadly, wasn't discipled. My next 17 years were years in the wilderness. But when I got right with God, I did not like to read. Okay? My reading, length of reading and reading comprehension was about the length of a magazine article. After that, I had no interest. But God changed that desire and gave me an appetite. And that's because the power that's resident in the gospel to change a life. And, my boys and my wife, they're just avid readers. I was not an avid reader. I read Motor Trend, Car and Driver, Chilton's Manuals. That's really exciting reading. Remove hood.
after hood is removed, remove fan shroud. Anyway,
but that's, you know, that's not at all at all exciting.
But this is exciting. And this is the positive change.
But sometimes the gospel has negative effects. And we see point number two, the persecution because of the preaching of the word. Look at verse 45. This is the negative response. The Jews became jealous. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. The Jews were jealous. Why were they jealous? Well, how come we can't get this crowd on a Saturday? But these two guys come to town, and the synagogue is filled. So rather than praising God that people had the opportunity to hear the word of God, they became jealous, and they were filled with envy, and they spake against the things which were spoken by Paul. Where did Paul preach from? Their Bible. Now they're speaking against their own Bible. And so because of the crowds the missionary had assembled, because of their prejudice against the Gentiles, the Jews didn't like the Gentiles. And the church, the synagogue probably had more Gentiles in it. And this made them angry and jealous. Therefore, they contradicted and blasphemed. Isn't it amazing that the enemy still uses those tactics today? When you can't say anything about your enemy's character, you know, about his accomplishments, tear apart his character. We see that today, don't we? You know, I'm not getting political. This is just an observation. We hear words like we've never heard before: racist, misogynist. You know, on and on. We can go on. You know, we hear it from both sides. You know, you don't agree with me, you must be a racist. And on, just tear apart somebody's character. This is what they did. In Sunday school today, in our class downstairs, we learned about David and Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth had a servant that David put over him. His name was Ziba. And nice names. We were kind of in Sunday school class today trying to say Mephibosheth, and that's a tough name, so we named him Mibby. We just kind of shortened it, you know. But, you know, Mephibosheth was tricked by Ziba and then blasphemed to David by him. And this is a tactic that the enemy has always used. And maybe that's happened to you. Maybe because you're a committed Christian, you've heard things like, oh, you better not be in a cult. I've heard that. You know, you're taking this, aren't you taking this religious stuff a little too serious, you know. So you know, we hear these things. Now, I want to skip down to verse 50. We'll look at the other verses in a minute, but under the same topic, the persecution because of the preaching, the negative effect, verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. So they instigated persecution against them from the political leaders and religious leaders of the community. Paul and Barnabas's teaching did not fit their agenda, so they did everything to get rid of them. And friends, since Antioch Pisidia was in the region known as Galatia, these Jews continued to cause problems for the new believers, even after Paul left. This is why Paul had to write the book of Galatians. Turn to the Galatians with me, to chapter 1. Now, Galatians is probably one of the first New Testament books written. And it's written by the Apostle Paul to the churches at Galatia, which is where Paul is right now in Acts chapter 13. And look at verse 2. Galatians 1:2 says, "And all the brethren which are with me unto the," notice, "churches," plural, "of Galatia." So from Paul's first missionary journey and this second stop we see recorded for us, we saw the first convert mentioned, Sergius Paulus, but now this synagogue, from all these people that were getting saved, churches were started. So Paul writes this letter to the churches, and why does he write the letter to the churches? Verse 6, "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him." So soon. So not too long after he left, he heard there was a problem. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from him and called in, that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel," which is not another, but there be some that, what's the phrase, "trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." So, of course, we know that if we continue to read through the book of Galatians, the problem was the people of Galatia, the church of Galatia, was being told, "You have to keep the law." So who is teaching them after Paul leaves? The Jews. And Paul, in chapter 1 and chapter 2, continues to defend his calling as an apostle. Why? Because Paul is continuing to be blasphemed to the church. And the churches that are there in Galatia that are started, they're hearing from these Judaizers that Paul is trouble. But that's where he has to tell them, "Look, you know, I persecuted the church, sure. But God revealed himself to me. I was a Jew. I profited above everybody in the Jewish religion. I was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I sat at the feet of Gamaliel. I know what they're talking about. But I was taught by the Lord himself in the Arabian desert." That's where we learn it from. So when we go back to Acts chapter 13 and in verse 45, where it says they contradicted and blasphemed him. That's why Paul had to set the record straight in Galatians and wrote it. Paul wrote the epistle to the Galatians because he was still being blasphemed by those who ran him out of town, however long it was in between the writing. So, what is the positive response from the gospel? Just a desire to hear the word and to have the word and a desire for other people to hear the word. What's the negative? People don't always like that. People don't like to hear that. People don't like to hear that they're wrong. You know, all of us had to get to a point, whatever our faith was before. Maybe some of you came out of Roman Catholicism. Maybe some of you came out of some other type religion. And maybe you came from no faith at all. But we all had to realize that we are sinners. And maybe the faith we were practicing is not right. And Paul wasn't necessarily saying that the Jews were wrong. He was just saying, "Guys, what we have heard has been completed." So you have to know the rest of the story. And they didn't want the rest of the story. So maybe in your life, maybe
maybe in your life, maybe some in your family are giving you a hard time because of your faith. Maybe you don't go with them on Sundays to all the places because, you know, like I said, church needs to be the reason we miss everything, not the other way around. And we need to understand that the gospel will save some people, but it'll infuriate other people. And this led to number three, the proclamation to the Gentiles. Look at verse 46. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first be spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." So they turn to the Gentiles. We won't look at these verses, but Matthew 15, at that time Jesus said to the Syrophoenician woman, I am only come to the lost sheep of Israel. Romans 1:16, we know that the gospel must go to the Jew first, but then also to the Greek. And Isaiah 42, verses 1 and 6 is what Paul's quoting here. You know, the friends, in God's plan was always for the Gentiles to come to the light. And Israel, you have not been faithful in that. You've not been faithful to that. And this makes the Gentiles rejoice. And when the Gentiles heard this, verse 48, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Now, this verse has caused many some problems, and the word ordained here means appointed. Okay? The Gentiles had been ordained or appointed as part of God's plan. It was always in God's plan to save Gentiles. We can read that throughout the Old Testament, that the Messiah would come and bring light to the Gentiles, okay, who sit in darkness. And ordained is the opposite of the Jews mentioned in verses 45 and 46. They spoke against and they blasphemed. Therefore, in the order or appointment of God, the Gentiles believed and the Jews rejected. And the word was published, verse 49, and the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. And the word published here has the idea of spreading. So the gospel and God's word was spread throughout Galatia. And that's why I believe Paul writes, even though he only made the one stop here in the synagogue, I believe that's why when Paul writes to the book of Galatians, he says to the churches. This word, what did the people do with the word that believed? They started spreading it. What do we see in the book of Acts when persecution came and they left? What did they do? They spread the word. What is our responsibility to do with the word of God? Spread it. Don't keep it to yourself. Spread it. Just like seeds, spread it. Get the word of God out there. And the word produces fruit. 51 and 52. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Two groups of people were left behind in Antioch: angry Jews and spirit-filled disciples. Look with me at Mark 6. Matthew, Mark, second gospel, Mark chapter 6, verse 11. Whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you,
When ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. And what do we see Paul and Barnabas doing? Shaking off the dust of their feet, dusting their shoes off. Because God, they believe God is going to judge you, I don't even want to have anything to do with it. I'll tell you a little story. When I was pastoring in Pine Island, New York, I had a man that I always went door-to-door with. His name was Frank Lane. And I used to love to go door-to-door with Frank because I used to call him Saint Francis. If you know anything about Saint Francis, he's the patron saint of animals. And animals loved Frank for some reason. Dogs would chase me away, and when Frank was there, the dogs would come up and pet them. So I didn't have to worry about getting chased away, but I digress. We're walking down this driveway in Pine Island, and as we're walking down the driveway, this husband and wife come from around the backyard. One has a hoe in their hand, and the other one has a metal rake in their hand. And they're going, get out of the driveway, get out, get out, get out. And we're like, okay. So we turned around, got to the road, and Frank bends over, and he dusts the thing off his feet. So I said, good idea. So I dust my, and he shakes his pants, and he said, today, he said to me, Pastor, salvation came to their door, and they chased us out with rakes and hoes. I'm sure they thought we were Jehovah's Witnesses, but we never got a hearing with them. And whenever I read those passages, I can't help but think of that. But, you know, two groups were left behind, angry Jews and spirit and joy-filled believers. When you share the gospel, something always happens. People believe, people get angry, or people just say, something happens though. No decision is a decision. Trusting Christ is a decision. Getting angry, you know, don't take it personally. This is why we need to be bold witnesses. And these are the days, friends, we're going to need more boldness. Because the evangelical, Bible-believing Christian is becoming a target in our land, sadly. And if we believe the Bible, and as Nancy has mentioned in her gospel encounter, if we vote our conscience, and if we vote what the Bible says, we are put at odds with probably more than half the country, because I'm sure that there are Republicans out there that are fine with abortion. And my... you know, the Bible has to be what governs our thinking process. And the gospel has to be the message we preach. And the gospel, if we share it correctly, will have explosive effects. Some explosions, it destroys the sin, and it destroys the sorrow, and it destroys the strongholds, and Christ moves in, and there's great victory and joy. Amen? But some of that explosiveness is aimed at us. But ultimately, Christ tells us it's not aimed at us. They hate you because they hate me. They hate him. So remember that. So friends, in closing, the gospel is powerful. Powerful enough to change a sinner into a saint, a child of the devil into a child of God, a person who deserves an eternity in hell
into one who has a everlasting home awaiting in heaven. But it also reveals the hatred of the world to the things of God. Don't be surprised when people turn against you because of your faith. In fact, this is the normal reaction of the unsaved world toward the gospel and those who have been changed by it. So let's be bold. Let's be brave. Let's go out there with our gospel dynamite and do a little bit of destruction. Good destruction. Sometimes you have to tear things down before you build things up, right? Look at the building, you know? Does it look the best right now? I'm sure if we were here Monday night when they were tearing it down, we'd be like, oh, it's never going to be ready, you know? But someday, it'll all be finished. And it'll look good. But sometimes, you know, you need to throw that. You know, the highway, you know, the engineer, they envision a highway, but there's a big mountain in the way. Well, let's blow it up. Sometimes there are obstacles in the way that the gospel needs to destroy before that person can get saved. So don't be afraid. Amen. Let's take, we've got a few minutes left, team up with one person and pray for that person you've been witnessing for. Pray for boldness. You know, each of you spend just a couple of minutes in prayer, and I'll come back and close the service in prayer. Okay? Take a few minutes. Thank you, folks.